This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live here from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP3. We got the Periscope up and running. Second hour smiles. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and Facebook. We also are up on the stream at fanrunradio.com and click that live link at the top, powered by our friends at MyBookie. Bet anytime, bet anything, bet anywhere. Bet MyBookie.ag. And of course, the free Fan Run Radio app in app stores today. Download that wherever they're sold for you. 12 hours of program right in the palm of your hands. Terrestrial radio, don't forget about that either. FM 105.7 AM 1340. Second hour, we're going to start a little opening drive. First down, get right into the headlines. Well, this is a, I guess, somewhat of a feel-good ending to a very, very bad situation, but the University of Michigan has reached a $490 million settlement in the Robert Anderson abuse case. That's right. The University of Michigan has agreed to a $490 million settlement with more than 1,000 people. That's right, more than 1,000 people.
Oh, no.
Who say that they were sexually assaulted by a former sports doctor at the school during his nearly 40-year career, those involved in the agreement said yesterday. Attorney Parker Stenar said that 1,050 people will share in the settlement, which was reached the night before. The university had been in meditation to resolve multiple lawsuits by mostly men, who said Dr. Robert Anderson sexually abused them during routine medical examinations. But Stenar went to say, quote, "It's been a long and challenging journey, and I believe the settlement will provide justice and healing for the many brave men and women who refuse to be silenced." Stenar represents about 200 of the victims. The $460 million will be paid out to 1,050 victims, while $30 million has been set aside for future accusers that may come about. The payouts to individuals won't all be equal and will be determined by a third-party allocator based on several variables. University spokesman Rick Fitzgerald confirmed the settlement and said a statement will be released later yesterday. But yeah, man, a number of football players and other athletes who came forward to accuse Anderson, who actually died in 2008 of sexually abusing them. And so Michigan has to pay up. Good, feel-good situation to a very bad story, kind of along the same lines of what the Olympic doctor, and he was at Michigan State too as well, right?
Larry Nassar.
You always like to see these victims get some type of restitution. Obviously, it's not going to heal them from any type of burden that they're carrying and pains they will forever carry, but at least they get them some money back. So that's good to see. All right, second down. Well, you guys know Dak Prescott was pretty critical of the officials after the loss to San Francisco 49ers in Sunday's wild card loss. He was asked after the game about fans who were throwing things at teammates in anger, which he called sad. However, when he was told the objects were directed at the officials, he said, "Well, credit to them then. Credit to them." He was given a chance to walk the comments back at the end of the conference, but still didn't. And then it was on Tuesday when he tweeted three times. Not one tweet, not two tweets, but three tweets from Dak Prescott to his 1.4 million followers to apologize, writing, quote, "I deeply regret the comments I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair. I hold the NFL officials in the highest regard and have always respected their professionalism and the difficulty of their jobs. The safety of everyone who attends a game or participates in the field of a sporting event is a very serious matter. That was a mistake on my behalf, and I am sorry." Prescott making these comments also is a finalist for the NFL Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. You can't make this stuff up. Cowboys are going to cowboy. They're just going to cowboy. That's what they're going
to
do.
You go back to Florida, you bum, and go get beat up in another parking lot.
He did get his ass whooped.
I mean,
in that
he got beat up.
But it wasn't until the NBA Referees Association came out on Twitter with their official account. Who knew that they had an official account?
Yeah.
The NBA referee. Like, what the hell are they tweeting about? Like, I'm serious. Like, good job.
Yeah, let's go take a look.
Good job, Billy, last night on that performance in that game.
Check out this highlight tape.
This is look, the textbook and one signaling.
Look at Danny run. Yeah.
Huddle profiles.
you send highlight reels.
Oh my gosh.
Look at Danny run up and down the sideline.
Today, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Hornet at Celtics. Number 74, Curtis Blair. Number 39, Tyler Ford. And number 9, Natalie Sago. ESPN NBA.
No way.
Hashtag NBA, hashtag NBA refs, hashtag all fly, hashtag bleed green.
So they like highlight their refs.
They're promoting the game.
These are headshots.
The referees. Yeah, the headshots of the referees.
You have to go to this account. You have to. The NBA.
Anytime. Yeah.
I'm going to put notifications on NBA Referees Association.
It's just every time there's a primetime game, they're hyping it up and letting you know who the refs are going to be.
I feel like that's not good. If I was one of the refs, like, man, stop like publicly promoting me like this.
It's
people
just
people up in my
so
Twitter.
So far, their only tweets are just hyping up games and getting mad at people who do bad things to refs.
I can't.
I just scrolled and there's probably 30 tweets of them previewing games and refs.
I can't.
And then you just randomly throw in a tweet. The actions of Tennessee State Representative Jerry Faiston are further indication of disrespect for game officials in all sports at all levels.
That's the guy.
The NBARA hopes actions like this by high-profile individuals will help shed light on the growing issue of referee disrespect.
That's the guy that came out and he's a Tennessee representative that tried to pants the ref. That's that guy. Jeremy Faison or whatever.
Man.
He tried to pants a ref in a game that he was at, probably, you know, one of his kids' high school basketball game or something, and he tried to literally pants a ref.
Oh my God.
Why are these refs so sensitive?
Well, like, apparently there's been a growing issue with referee and a game official disrespect, GP3.
Well, they suck at their job.
Come on, GP3. We need to respect officials.
And NBA's probably the least controversial of the main sports too when it comes to officiating.
One in stripes, man. On Twitter and Hockey Lee's son. Those are the only two refs that I respect.
What about Jerome Boger?
I hate him. I really do.
He's awful.
I finally found a tweet that is not hyping up game day refs.
Okay.
Or being mad at referee disrespect.
What does it say?
Grab your hiking boots. It's time to scale another NBA ref, Mount Rushmore. This ref has officiated over 1,000 regular season games. Check out number 11, Derek Collins' top picks. Mark Davis, Monty McCutcheon, Derek Stafford, and Steve Javi, who have all secured a spot at the top of the NBA ref, Mount Rushmore.
That was not Steve Javi, it's Steve Javi, I believe. I remember him. But yeah, that's some pretty funny stuff.
The first reply to that tweet is, you guys are dreadful tonight. You soft idiots, quit ruining the game.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a solid move for them to be so out there
or just to put
social media.
A Mount Rushmore of NBA refs.
They have the guy who gambled on games on there.
No, Donahue. Yeah, they probably don't have him. Well, it was the NBA Referees Association, as we see, they're very active on Twitter. They were who had held Dak Prescott accountable. They condemned his comments condoning violence against the officials. They said, as an NFL leader, he should know better. We encourage the NFL to take action to discourage this deplorable behavior in the future. The NBA refs, man, they don't play. They don't play, is what we're finding out. They don't play, and they like to highlight their own refs, and even – I love how they put the numbers out there, too. We all know they wear numbers, but still, I couldn't tell you. Number 39. Danny Jones. Out of a Popka, Florida. Oh, Danny.
He's out of a Popka, Florida?
Yeah, and he can run.
Oh, you know that. You know all the refs come out of Florida, the best ones.
Chasing those rabbits. All right, third down.
Number 14 on the court. And number one in your heart, Ed Malloy.
My favorite, Ed Malloy.
By the way, yeah. Back to Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
It's his own fault. The refs didn't even mess that up.
They committed stupid penalties the entire
game.
Well,
not only that, he tried.
The most penalized team in the NFL.
Yeah.
He started his slide at the 26-yard line, then tried to spot the ball himself on the 23.5, and then was mad that it took him too long to spot the ball and get it going. Hey, dummy, just give it to the referee. You know, that's your own fault.
Very true.
Low IQ.
He's not that smart. He's not that smart. I totally agree with you guys. It's all his fault. But the backlash is what we're here for. We're here for the funny. But moving right along, third down, the Seattle Seahawks, well, we heard that they were moving ahead with their GM. They're also going to keep Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, trying to keep those three guys together. Well, it was yesterday that they decided to fire their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr., and defensive passing game coordinator, Andre Curtis. A significant shakeup to Pete Carroll's coaching staff, according to ESPN. What do you guys think about this? They're already requesting permission to speak with Denver Broncos defensive coordinator, Ed Donatell. And that's about all I see. But Norton had been a longtime Carroll assistant. They're really trying to shape up things there in Seattle. Are you guys surprised that Russell Wilson might stay there? Or maybe that they haven't moved along from Pete Carroll yet?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I admit, you know, Pete Carroll came in, he got him a championship. They played elite caliber football for 10-plus years, like always at the top. But sometimes you just need a fresh change.
Yeah.
I feel like either Russell Wilson needs a fresh team – and a fresh, you know, new outlook, or maybe they just need to bring in a new coach, and it's just time for Pete Carroll to go.
I'd like to see Russ go somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I like seeing.
No.
As long as he stays in the NFC.
Yeah, just keep him there.
As long as he
stays in the NFC. We don't want to risk him leaving. We don't want him to come to the AFC. We got too many good quarterbacks.
Put him in New
Orleans. In fact, I think we should add Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes to the NFC. Let's just get rid of all of them.
Let's put him in New Orleans.
We'll trade Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes for Justin Fields and Taysom Hill.
Ken Norton Jr. had been in Seattle since 2018. He also played for Pete Carroll when he was with the 49ers back in 94-95. Pro Bowl linebacker when Carroll was the 49ers defensive coordinator. He also coached with Carroll at USC as well.
So they're long-time buddies.
This is a long-time buddy. This is a big breakup for the two. Ken Norton Jr. out. Seattle in need of a defensive coordinator.
Sounds like you're saying Cal Naughton Jr. from
Cal Naughton.
Cal Naughton
Jr. Yeah.
Ken Norton Jr. All right, fourth down. You guys like Kyle. UFC? You like UFC, right? Again, I'll ask you.
Yes.
I like UFC.
I know you do. Well, the UFC confirms their return to the UK.
You were going to say Fight Island.
Nope. The UFC announced.
Fight Island.
What?
Yeah, they're still there, right?
Yeah, they still do stuff there.
Okay, good.
The UFC announced today that it will host a fight night in the UK for the first time in 3 years. The event is going to be held in London on March 19th, the first of its kind since Jorge Masvidal recorded a stunning knockout. Back then was Liverpool. Yeah, Liverpool's Darren Till at the O2 Arena in March 2019 at UFC 147. They had the same event scheduled for 2020, but the pandemic canceled it. It was going to be headlined by Leon Edwards and Tyrone Woodley. Dana White said in a statement, "Every time we put on an event in London, it's an unbelievable experience. The fans are incredible and the fights are always off the charts. It's a different kind of energy in England. Can't wait to get back there on March 19th. No fight's been confirmed, though. Would you guys go watch a UFC fight in England?
I mean, I'm not going to fly to England.
If I lived in England, or in this hypothetical, am I already in England?
You're already in England.
If I'm already in England.
I feel like they care more about soccer, though.
Well, every European country cares more about soccer than probably anything
else.
They
don't care exclusively about soccer. NFL stadiums.
I feel like London's pretty diverse because they have gotten into the NFL. I feel like they're becoming more westernized as America kind of tries to branch out and like bring our sports over there. Yeah, I mean, if I lived there, I'd go watch it. I know that it's always been pretty popular in Germany. UFC, that is.
Yeah. All right, last one, bonus fifth down, really quick for you baseball fans. Star free agent shortstop Carlos Correa has announced that he has hired agent Scott Boras. That's right. MLB still in lockout, 47 days in. Transactions frozen, but the 27-year-old is without a team. He joined Scott Boras, who is the big-time agent, as we all know. Before the work stoppage, though, Boras negotiated $630 million in deals for Corey Sager, Marcus Semien, and Max Scherzer.
I don't like Boras at all.
Correa had been seven seasons with the Houston Astros, made two All-Star teams, won the 2017 World Series, and probably enters this winter as one of the top free agents on the board.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the top three best shortstop prospect, or not prospect, but shortstop free agent on the market. I still have this feeling he winds up in Detroit.
That'd be pretty interesting.
Scott Boras, man. He just makes all the he just makes the Nationals either pay way too much or makes all our players leave.
After
he represents everyone, and they just all leave.
He's like the guy who does the college football coaches. I can't think of his name now.
Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah, Sexton.
Yep, Jimmy Sexton. You're right. After a proposal from the league this past week, a counter from the union could come as early as this week in terms to the lockout. There are other big names in free agent, though. Still big time names remaining. Free agents are Trevor Story, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Bryant, Nick Castellanos, and Freddie Freeman.
Some big names. This is a huge free agency.
Yeah.
I can't believe Colorado didn't trade Trevor Story at the deadline.
Out of all those players, and we'll take your Braves bias out of, who would you want?
Not including Freddie.
Trevor Story, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Bryant, Nick Castellanos, and then also Carlos Correa.
Well, technically, Dansby Swanson's a free agent right now, too, so probably Carlos Correa or Trevor Story.
It's easily Trevor Story for me.
I was going to say Carlos Correa or Clayton Kershaw, but I guess maybe you guys not really leaning towards Kershaw.
Well, Kershaw's an old man.
I was just going to say, is that because he's getting older?
Yeah. He's just like a washed old man.
He's older. He's been hurt. Couldn't even pitch in the playoffs last year.
He's probably at the bottom of that list that you read for me. For me, it's either Story or Castellanos.
Yeah. Nick Castellanos, he did some great things.
I mean, just know anytime there's a tragedy, like you're going to get a home run from him. And that's a pretty big bonus.
That's very true. I hope the Reds maybe can find a way to bring him back, but doesn't look well. Hey, that is your opening drive on your hump day, January 19th. We'll take a quick timeout. On the other side, we got some housekeeping news for Tennessee football we need to discuss. Let's get into some NFL talk. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. What song is this?
You ask every time.
Every time I play it.
At this point, like, are you joking with us, or do you actually need to know?
Nah, what is it?
Smoky Mountain Rain. We looked it up the other day.
Okay.
Right here.
It's a good song.
Smoky Mountain Rain keeps on falling.
I'm probably going to keep asking. Every time I'm like, what is this?
I've added it to my rotation now.
It's a really good song.
I was sitting there. I was driving home the other day, just Smoky Mountain Rain, just going along with it. Fired up.
I love it.
Fired up. The music gets me going every time. Well, sometimes I look forward to the commercial breaks just to hear two more songs.
I agree with you there sometimes, too. Well, speaking of getting you hyped up, you want to get hyped up about Tennessee football?
Yeah,
always.
I do.
Always.
Well, it was a pretty decent year for Josh Heupel, although we'd rather have won the bowl game at the end of the season. But his peers did notice, and no first-year head coach in the Power Five had more regular season wins than Tennessee's Josh Heupel. And with that, he is the Steve Spurrier first-year coach award is what he earned.
Co-winner.
With Shane Beamer of South Carolina. It's presented annually by the Football Writers Association of America to the best coach in his first year to school. It happened during a virtual ceremony on Monday night. He does have to share it with Shane Beamer of South Carolina. The two SEC East coaches were among the three finalists, along with anybody know the third coach? Who would you guess?
Oh, Gus Malzahn.
Yep. UCF's Gus Malzahn. That's right. Do you guys have any problem with
Heupel
him having to share that?
Heupel also won this award in 2017, his first year at UCF.
At UCF, wow. Yeah.
But no, I do have an issue with it just because.
You beat South Carolina?
Yeah, beat them head to head.
Mm-hmm. And you.
And you didn't just beat them, you beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah.
You had to take your foot off the pedal there.
Yeah, you took your foot off the pedal there at the end. They scored some points, but I mean, it was 28 to nothing after the first quarter, 38 to 7 at halftime. Beamer's Gamecocks did go 4-3 after that loss, and they beat Florida, Auburn, and North Carolina in the Duke's Mayo Bowl to finish the season at 7-6. Charlie, did you have a lot of gripe with this?
You did beat them, and I feel like Heupel did a better job, but I think South Carolina had a worse roster. He was probably in a worse situation.
I mean, we were talking about South Carolina during the season as like who's worse, South Carolina or Vandy, especially when they played that game.
I mean, I thought that South Carolina was worse than Vandy, so actually I don't have any problem with him getting the award too. You know, at the end of the day, the award doesn't really mean that much in the first place to get upset about, and I think Frank Beamer is his daddy. I've called him Frank every time I've referred to him since the day he got the job.
That's Shane.
You might not have an issue with it, but when you give out an award, it should be one singular winner. I hate co-awards. That's why you have the award. You have to
pick
somebody.
I mean, it's voted
somebody.
On, right? So that just ended in a tie. Like, what else are you supposed to do?
You have a runoff.
And I guess make the Gus Malzahn voters decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could do that, but it's just like it's such a meaningless award.
Aren't all awards meaningless?
No.
I mean, if this is meaningless, like most awards are meaningless.
I mean, the Heisman's not meaningless. The O'Brien.
What are you like? I mean,
Blitnikoff.
In the grand scheme of things, what makes the Heisman like? I know it's the Heisman, but like in the grand scheme of things, it's meaningless. It doesn't equate to anything. Like, look at Marcus Mariota. He won it. He's now a backup in the NFL. Johnny Manziel.
I mean, but like those are pretty awesome, like individual accolades to achieve.
So would being a first-time head coach of the year, but now
I feel like that's just. I mean, I feel like that's just not on the same level. Like, I don't know. I feel like we can just both understand that. Like,
I mean, yeah, sure, you can say that there's different prestige, I guess, to the award. But if you're going to say it's meaningless, then every award's meaningless. Why even have an award if it's a meaningless award?
Yeah, that's just. It's not true.
Yeah, that's good points from both of you.
I mean, at the end of the day, like that's just a weird part to like pick out and argue about. Anyway, like, okay, it's. Fine, it's a meaningful award, but at the end of the day, like it's still it's Coach of the Year. Like I'm sure he's not all that bothered by two people winning
it. No, he's not. We're just nitpicking, but
yeah, you guys are playing
and
semantics
again,
game right now.
Like Beamer, pretty deserving too. Credit to him.
I don't have a huge gripe with it. I will say that I think that he should have won it outright, simply on the fact that you beat South Carolina, and if we're just talking about regular season success, I mean they're taking a lot into account of. South Carolina beating North Carolina in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and then Tennessee coming up short versus Purdue, which is one of the better games of the bowl game series. But, yeah, like, that's my only gripe with it, but I'm not, like, stomping mad around here, you know, ready to take it to the streets. No, but
I would have been more mad if they would have just given it to Shane Beamer.
Yes. Good point by you. Heupel is the first two-time winner, as GP3 said, though, of the Spurrier Award, having won it in 2018 after his first season at UCF when the Knights were in the table en route to a Fiesta Bowl berth and the American Athletic Conference Championship. So, yeah, I don't know if this means that Heupel will succeed at the University of Tennessee, but we'd love to see Tennessee get some positive praise.
I didn't see Butch Jones win that award.
I did not.
I didn't see Jeremy Pruitt win it.
Yeah, and Tennessee picked to finish fifth in the SEC East before the season, and where you end up with the big play system, all the points scored. I mean, it was truly an entertaining year.
We were picked fifth, and what did we finish? Third or fourth?
Third. We finished third, right, yes.
Yeah, because Florida collapsed, mm-hmm. So it would have gone Georgia, Kentucky, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, big praise to Josh Heupel. That's where I'm at with that one. Just some housekeeping stuff. Quickly, real fast. Before we get out of this segment, like I said, we hadn't talked about Tennessee football in a little bit. We're still all waiting signing day coming up, and see if to get any more transfers through the portal. You're still waiting on if you're going to get that Nayor kid who it looked like you had, but maybe you may
apparently
not.
Apparently he's going to Texas or like to visit.
I thought he visited Georgia too. Was it Texas?
Ole Miss, I think he visited.
Oh, Ole Miss. It was Ole Miss. Yes, it was Ole Miss. Thank you, Charlie. It was Ole Miss.
But Trey Wallace said yesterday on the spaces after the basketball game that Nayor said over the weekend that he was still firm in his commitment to Tennessee.
He's just going through the motions.
Yeah, which, I mean, I never blame a kid for taking advantage of the visits.
Take them visits.
Yeah.
Take those
especially
official.
If you weren't really highly recruited out of high school.
You went to Wyoming. Yeah, this is like a fun time for him. Take your official visits. I have no problem with that either. But before we get out of this segment, quick, this is a list that I saw on 247. Just go through some of the moments of the season. It's the top 10 highlights of the season for Tennessee football. Number 10, see if you guys agree with some of these or if there's some that might be missed. Cedric Tillman drops 200 on Georgia. That's right. He had 10 passes for 200 yards with a touchdown. And no, I didn't see a lot of receivers do that against Georgia this year.
No.
Number 9, 92 yards and not touched. That was Tyon Evans with the big run against
Missouri.
Yeah, where he broke up the middle pretty much untouched.
Yeah.
That's number 9. I like that play.
I like
as well.
That.
Number 8, Jabari Small sits down the safety. This is against Kentucky.
Broken.
Oh, yeah, that was a nasty cut.
Yeah. He was touchdown running legs and a quick shake left, and a Kentucky safety diving at the air turned a long gain into a touchdown. Number 7, Cedric Tillman over the top in Tuscaloosa. Made a leaping catch on a 50-50 ball to set up Tennessee's first touchdown. Later ran back by, let's see, cornerback Josh Jobe. I don't remember this play.
Say it one more time. I mean, see if I can paint it in my head.
It was Tillman was going off and lost to Alabama, turning 7 catches into 150 yards with a couple big plays, and then he made a leaping catch, made a leaping catch 50-50 ball against cornerback Josh Jobe.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that play? I don't remember that one. That's why I've remembered every play except for this one.
Like me, try to just fade out.
Jobe had his back turned to Tillman at the snap, and then he went up and mossed him. Number 6. Nice. Silence in the Swamp. This is – I don't really know if I like this one, though. Javonte Payton had 6 touchdown catches. All of them are consideration for the list, but the shortest of the team. The 29-yarder is impressive leaping touchdown grab against Tennessee Tech. It's a 75-yard touchdown that gave the Vols the lead at Florida. 75-yard touchdown by Javonte Payton. That is the highlight. I don't remember that one either. Must have been like when I was traveling somewhere to watch the game.
Telling you're like me. You just phase out all the bad losses.
Well, that was the day that you went to the wrong golf course.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was that? Yeah, that was that day. Yeah, gosh, I drove to Chattanooga and was supposed to be in Cookeville at that golf course. Wow.
And they just happened to be running a memorial golf tournament too.
at the one in Chattanooga, they were running some kids charity event golf tournament, and then at the one that I was supposed to be at, it was a Marine Corps golf tournament for like wounded warriors. That was the one I was supposed to be at. So yeah, that's probably why I forgot about that. It was a long day, man. Good job, Charlie. You don't forget anything. That was Florida weekend.
All right. As long as it's not numbers, I remember.
Number 4, Dark Mode against the Gamecocks, came out in the dark jerseys. I think so. That's a pretty good highlight.
Our 4th best highlight of the season is wearing
number
black
5
jerseys.
Was yeah. Number 5 was the perfect start to senior day. Yeah, we're kind of getting down there, right? Number 3, Alante Taylor robbing Kentucky.
Yeah, that was good. That was nice.
Hit him with a little boogie after.
Yeah.
Number 2 is first play fireworks. Javonte Payton 75-yard touchdown against Kentucky. Yep. On a bubble screen. It was a good blocks for Princeton Fant, Valus Jones Jr. That's number 2. Your number 1 highlight of the year, Valus Jones Jr. to the house. 96 yards for a touchdown against South Alabama. It'd be the first time Tennessee had a kickoff return for a touchdown. It was like a very long time. So I can see that. I don't know if that's number 1, though, for me.
No.
I think that list is kind of terrible, honestly.
I'm going to totally agree with you. It was a trash list. Thank you to our friends over at GoFalls 247, though. 865-546-8200. Quick timeout. Come back on the other side. Let's talk the division matchups this weekend and more. Welcome back to the Blitz. live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. A couple segments here from us. Brief talk about some NFL divisional playoffs real quick. But Charlie, guess what's back, Charlie? You know what's back, Charlie? You can hear it over here. That's it. NBA Top Shot.
Oh, okay.
You remember the music. We used to really make Charlie mad doing NFL. Well, I'm in the NBA Top Shop game. I'm into NFTs. And today, hadn't done it in a while. Let's go ahead and open up my starter pack, Charlie. Who do you think I got?
Probably a bunch of bums because it's a terrible investment and you're losing your money. I was right all along. You guys acted like fools.
Hey, clowning. NFT is the wave of the future. It's not going to pop off very early. My first one. You're
just getting tricked.
My first one.
The people want to make you buy NFTs because the people that got in early are going to make all the money, and then everyone else loses their money. Bada bing, bada boom.
All right, my first one, GP3. You might care. You're a collector. Colin Sexton dunk on October 27th of 2021. All right.
So you now own that image?
Yeah, I own that NFT, that whole like highlight image or whatever. All right, second pack opening, Charlie. Uh-oh.
It's going to be Boban.
It's an Aaron Nesmith dunk.
Wait, so what was the first one again?
Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton, that's not bad.
That's not bad. Aaron Nesmith.
Give me the team and I'll guess the next one.
Okay. I'll give you the team. My last one to open up. The team. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Brooklyn Nets.
Is it actually just Nicholas Claxton?
Like, nope.
Transition layup?
Nope.
Is it Kyrie refusing to get the vaccine?
That would be good, though. I'd love that on NFT.
Just the doctor with a needle and him going, no.
Give me that one. I'm standing by my stance. I want that one, like him in the press conference. No. It's actually a decent one. It's Kevin Durant.
Oh. Is it just made free throw in a 47-42 game in the second quarter?
It is a... Look at you, Negative Nancy. It's a Kevin Durant jump shot after taking his defender off the dribble.
Oh, how many of those has he made in the last month?
The Brooklyn Nets superstar sets up the baseline and buries an untouchable fadeaway. Durant dropped 38 points on 17 of 24 shooting.
Congrats on against the Hornets. Money.
Against the Hornets.
You know how many bananas you could have bought with that money?
Probably a lot of bananas. Yeah. Oh, I have one more. Christmas.
I'm guessing bonus. This one.
All right, this one is...
If I guess right, you have to give it to me, though.
Could you get,
rules,
the Steven Adams carrying Ford?
Yeah.
Bradley?
It's all type of highlights.
That would be a good one, though.
And they're authentic serial numbers that you have, only you have. Darius, I just told you. I was going to say Cleveland Cavaliers, but Darius Garland. I got me a Darius Garland alley-oop assist to Jared Allen. I know you're jealous. I know you are jealous. All right, now I can turn the music down. I think the more entertaining aspect for me is actually opening the pack and they just start playing the drums.
Hey, I got a question.
Yes, please.
Brad Rose, one of our loyal listeners, suggested that I should dress up as Joe Exotic, Tiger King, for the game on Sunday, given that we were playing the Bengals.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. I think you should do it. That would be awesome.
How do I pull it off? Like, do I have to?
I mean, I think you just go in your finest, like.
You got to get, a really colorful shirt that pops with, weird pattern.
I want to be wearing Titans apparel, though.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
Like, is there a shiny Titan shirt that I can wear?
I doubt it.
Get a Titans Hawaiian shirt. I know that they have those.
I feel like you need cut-off shorts. Unless you're going to wear like GP stuff.
Cut-off shorts? It's going to be in the teens.
You're Charlie, Bob.
That's a good point.
You can do that.
Good point by you.
I mean, Joe Exotic wore khakis a lot.
Do I bring a tiger with me, too?
All right, you either wear tight jeans or some cut-off shorts. Maybe a flannel, or if you can find a leopard print shirt. He wore a lot of leopard print.
Okay. I'm scared if I change up what I wear.
Oh, here's a guide.
I'll change up the mojo.
This is on CostumeRealm.com. How to dress like Joe Exotic. Number one, a Joe Exotic shirt.
Check.
Number two, a Joe Exotic wig and also accessories set. It checks out. It also says, number three, a gold-plated wedding ring.
That's just a weird one to include. Okay. I feel like no one's paying attention to that aspect.
All right, number four, if you don't want to go with the shorts, and GP said khakis, but it is known that Joe Exotic wears a relaxed fit white pant.
Relaxed fit white pant.
Yep,
I don't,
white pant.
I don't think I believe this.
All right, number five. Oh, these are key. You do need these. These are, you probably have these. I think I have a pair of these at home. Number five, polarized driving sunglasses. Specifically driving sunglasses.
I don't even own regular sunglasses.
You don't wear a lot of sunglasses.
No, like I don't own any. I have not owned any since
You've said this before. Your eyes. So what did you say about the sun?
I train my eyes.
What? Yes. I want you to hear this. Because you probably hadn't heard this one before.
So,
no, this is... He told us this.
So when I was a junior in high school...
When he was a young lad.
When I was a young lad, a junior in high school. So really even not honestly that long ago, like 8 years, 7 years?
Yeah, it wasn't that long
Math,
ago. Math,
I don't know.
Junior,
I don't do it. I was at the beach, and I had my sunglasses on my hat.
Down by the beach, man.
And I was sitting in the room. And I was watching sports. Something happened I didn't like. Don't remember what. And I threw my hat on the ground in anger, in disgust. Sunglasses were on there. Broke the sunglasses in half. And was too lazy to go buy another pair. And now I've just decided that I've could train my eyes to just be able to look into the sun and deal with the sun and the glare. And be effective in work, and it's worked.
He's trained his eyes.
It is. My eyes are trained. I can stare directly into the sun, no problems.
No problems.
My eyes, I have like 40/20 vision. It's unbelievable. Best eyesight probably
Superhero.
In Knoxville.
In Knoxville. No yeah. LASIK needed for Charlie.
My eyes are perfect. They are one of a kind, unique specimens. And yeah, I think they are trained to at least deal with the sun better. The amount of times that I've driven from Nashville to Knoxville during sunrise where it's just right in your eyes. Quite a few times. Does it bother me? No. My eyes are perfect. They're trained.
Perfect eyes from Charlie.
I never have to buy sunglasses again.
Charlie, your last two costume items. Number six. This is crucial. You need a man's Invicta watch.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know? I do not know what an Invicta watch is.
I only have like 3 days until this game starts, and I work tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night.
Last
so I don't
one.
Know when this is happening.
Last one for you, Charlie, to pull off the ultimate Joe Exotic Halloween costume. You need a tiger buckle belt. Tiger buckle belt. You think you can pull it off?
I don't know, man. I might just... I'm the biggest
you don't
thing
seem
is,
very hyped up to pull it off.
I'm scared.
You know how you get on the camera all the time? You know, the trifecta, everything.
Yeah, they love
done.
Me. I'm
you dress up as Joe Exotic to the playoff game for the Titans. You will be on camera.
I don't care about that. I just care about getting the win, and I'm worried to switch
and then,
the mojo.
And then if you dress up, we'll find you a little plush stuffed animal tiger that you can carry, a little bangle.
See, because I wear one of, like, pretty much the same thing to every game. I go to the same restaurant before every single game, and I get the exact same chicken nachos with
Dude, you could pull this off so great. You have the
chicken,
mullet. Like, this
no
actually,
chili.
This is looking really good.
I have the same waitress
the
every
shirt,
game.
Pop the shirt open with a little, show a little
I'm a
know,
man of
hair.
Consistency.
You got the light hair color, too.
The like chest hair. Oh, yeah, you got the mullet. Oh, yeah, dude, you could pull this off. You are Joe Exotic. You're Charlie Exotic. That's who you are.
I'm the Tiger King. The Bengal King.
It'll be a big win. Hey, speaking of the Bengals this weekend, well, FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get on the action in the NFL playoffs. That's why the FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional playoffs this weekend. You can bet $5 to win $150 on any team to win any divisional playoff game. If you're a Titans fan, new customer, put $5 on the Titans this weekend and turn that into $150. We've been talking all week who we like. I like the Titans against the Bengals. I like my Packers. I also like the Buccaneers to lose this weekend. So those are some of my options. But you need to make some picks for yourself. Just sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the NFL playoffs than on America's number one sportsbook. It's a simple and easy-to-use app. They give you generous promotions every day. It's safe and secure with the best in-class customer service. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. Don't miss your chance to win $150 off a $5 bet when you use promo code BLITZ when you sign up. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Use our promo code BLITZ and pick your divisional playoff team before kickoff. As always, though, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit is required. You must wager and designate offer market max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. All right, quick timeout, GP. Let's come back, wrap up the show on your hump day, Charlie. Keep locked here. One last second. Welcome back to the Blitz. Wrapping up the show today. Talk Sports is up next with John Reed and the boys. Noon until 3. You got the drive in the afternoon with Russell, the Bear, and Jake Miller. Cap it off tonight with Will Stevens and Tucker Holt on overtime. Do it all again tomorrow starting 7 a.m. with 3 and out. But now it's time to end the show with a little if you haven't heard. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I got a quick one.
Do it.
All right. As we all remember, Tennessee tennis last year came up just short of a national championship, but did win the SEC championship. Coming in preseason rankings, they are number one in the ITA rankings, which I guess is what ranks tennis and college athletics.
Oh.
So.
Nice. Shout out to them. Number one in the nation. What you love to see. Charlie, you got a quick if you haven't heard right here?
Yes, sir, if you haven't heard. The sports writers in Kansas and Missouri, actually, slip up on my part, in Missouri, in Kansas City.
Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay, yeah.
Kansas City, Missouri. If you haven't heard, they're all clowns, every one of them. They have no idea what they're doing, and they're terrible at their jobs.
Can I get a source?
Jesse Newell, first of all, he is the reason that Auburn is not number one in the country, because in his AP poll, he voted them ninth. Ninth. And tried to defend it. Auburn ended up with more number one votes, but finished 4 points behind Gonzaga in the poll from being there, from having their first appearance ever at number one, because he put them at ninth and dropped them down. He also had Alabama move up in the rankings after their loss to Mississippi State. So he is a clown. But the trend of Kansas City sports writers being clowns does not end here, because another man for the Kansas City Star wrote an article claiming that this weekend is just the NFC, AFC Championship and Super Bowl for the Chiefs.
Hmm. So they're, I mean, I've seen this a few places.
Yes.
Where people are just saying that Bills Chiefs is the real AFC Championship, because
right.
Bengals and Titans don't have a chance to beat either of them, even though they've already beaten both of them.
Yeah, no one really wants to mention the fact that the Chiefs are 0-3 against the three remaining teams in the AFC. Everyone just wants to crown the Chiefs once again because they're Kansas City, but I don't know. Just to go ahead and say that Kansas City and Buffalo is the AFC Championship game. You're a clown. You're a clown. You don't know what you're doing.
Charlie says you're a clown. Quick one for me. Gary Patterson, 61, has joined the Texas football staff as a assistant to the head coach, special assistant to the head coach.
All right. Dwight Schrute.
Yeah, according to – that's pretty good. According to 247, Horns 247, and Chip Brown, he will now be the special assistant to the head coach, Steve Sarkisian. On the way out, it is National Popcorn Day and World Cork Day. Keep it locked here for more Fan Run Radio.